This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Welcome to another episode of Business by the Numbers. I'm your host, Hunt Demers, CPA with Parmelis & Associates. This week, we do have a special one because once a year, we do these episodes about our benchmark report. And I'm happy to announce that by the time you're listening to this, our benchmark report is live and available for you to download. Like I said, this is going to be the first of a three-part. And if you look in the show notes, you're going to see a link to the actual benchmark report that I'm going to be talking about. If you want to go and you say, Hunt, I haven't even seen this benchmark report, you could still go and listen to this episode because a lot of this will do some overviews. I'm going to go through the first part of this and kind of some snapshots in compared to where we stand last week. But again, if you want to see this, go into show notes. If you like it, share this with a friend. Before we get into that, I want to stop and say thank you to you and the rest of the dedicated listeners. Remember, if you want your question answered on here, just want a question for me, or want to talk to us about accounting and tax services for your business, shoot me an email at info@parmelis.com. And lastly, we cannot forget our dedicated sponsors. If you need to hire the next rock star for your team, give ProMotive a call. It's time to hire a superstar for your business. What a grind you have in front of you. Great news. You don't have to go at it alone. Introducing ProMotive, a full-service staffing solution for your shop. Let them do the heavy lifting and enlist your hiring partner online at gopromotive.com. The overall idea of what I'm doing this week and for the next coming weeks is not to replace you guys looking at this. The reason why we put this benchmark together is because we can't, really. We have all this data. All of this data is from hundreds of shops around the country on it. This is real data. These are not surveys. These are real people's financials. Just like a couple of years ago, every single year that we do this, someone will call up and say, that number doesn't look, that looks high, that looks low. I get it, but that is your preconceived notion of actually showing what is really going on. The cool thing about this report of where this was originally stemmed from is people said, what are your clients spending on this on average? What are your clients on average getting for labor rate? That is all information that I have. That is all information that is in our four walls. It's in this building. But we did not have an easy way to get that data into a format that made sense. And then most importantly, give you something that you can actually use. A little bit about the report. And again, I need to stop here, just like I do in a report, and say thank you to the shops that participated. This is something that if you're one of our clients, you probably got an email. And if you participated, then great. And if you said, Hunt, I missed it, don't worry, we're going to do this again next year. But I have to toot my own horn of my own team on here and also my clients. This report that we put together is truly one of a kind. If you want to send me another industry benchmark report that is actually doing what we're doing here, you can prove me wrong. There is a number of reports that are put out for the automotive industry, not a whole lot that I find useful because most all of them are either pieces of real information and not the true story of this, or it's all surveys. And you guys know yourself as well as I do on it. If someone asked you how much you're making, is it going to be the same answer of what you're actually making? These are real numbers, and I don't think that you can find this anywhere else. But that being said on this, I don't sell this. We give this to everyone on it. I'm going to give my clients first access to this, and we give them customized reports. But this is data. This is information that people need to know. How are we going to use this? And we're going to, over the next coming weeks, get down to a couple different things. But really, what we're going to look at is three big categories. The first one that we're going to talk about this week is really just some overall snapshots and more specifically, how some of these are trending. Remember, this is the third year that we're doing this. We're actually starting to get some good trend analysis, not just from previous year, but start to see 2 to 3 year flows on some of this data. Really cool to see what we saw. I will make some conclusions on this. Again, these are my conclusions. Make your own conclusions. Also, if this is not what it sounds like is going on in your shop, then good. Or maybe it's a bad thing. But again, these are averages. We also want to take a look at something more specifically on this. The first week, we're going to look at a high-level overview of what your guys' year turned out as and how that compared to the previous year. The next one we're going to talk about the second week is really more about benchmarking. The whole idea of this report is to compare your numbers to all of our numbers around the country. When in most cases, that is a little bit of an oversimplification and probably something that might not even give you the proper targets. Wouldn't you like to compare yourself to other Euro shops or other Euro shops that are in your area, or maybe other large Euro shops in your correct zip code? You've always heard the expression comparing apples to apples on it. And again, comparing your numbers to the overall benchmark can be good for some aspects, but that industry or that area specific aspect of this could be much more important. Also, just like a lot of times on this, we'd like to look at different things in different regions. Is your labor rate up to snuff for the overall average? Maybe it is. Is it up to your area or your industry in your area? Maybe, maybe not. And the last one on here in the final week is what I find the most important. It is, I want to compare myself or I want to see what the best shops are doing. That was probably the crux of why we did this whole issue, if I'm going to be honest, is we currently right now benchmark a lot of our clients' data, and all of you guys see this on a quarterly basis. How do I compare to your other shops? And what we're going to do on the third week of this one is the most important. You don't want to compare yourself to the average, and God forbid, you do not want to compare yourself to the below average. If I'm a shop owner, what I want to be doing is I want to say, Hunt, I want to compare myself to the top shops. I don't care what shops are doing. I compare what top shops are doing, and I want to mimic what they're doing to try and figure out the magic formula. In that last week, give you a little bit of a spoiler alert on this, but what we're looking at here is a lot of outputs. This is all the stuff that looks like it is a good shop. Is a good shop because they offer a 401k, or are they able to offer a 401k because they're a good shop? So we got to look at the causation and different things like that. But without further ado, let's get into the report. And if you want to pause this, if you want to have this set up and you want to look at this and go down line by line on it, then fine. But again, I am drawing my own conclusions. I also have some context on this that is something that you wouldn't gather. And also some of this that might not be your reality. This is the 24 of what all the shops had. If yours was better or worse on that, it's probably true. One of the big things that you will see the first line on here, and I know I'm going to get some questions on this, is our overall average sales have actually decreased. The first thing I'll put out there is this is not a dual blind study that is in a climate controlled environment that is meant to be used down to the penny. This is done for internal purposes, for managerial purposes, for planning purposes. It is not going to be used in courts. It is not going to be used in law. Once I put that out there, I will explain the methodology behind this. We offer this service, or we offer and urge our clients to be participants in this benchmark report, but we don't have everyone that participates. The good news for us is every single year, this is the third year doing this, every single year we have had more clients that have joined into doing the benchmark report. So when we're looking at some of these averages, I have to be upfront with you guys and say, I'll be honest, we are not comparing apples to apples. If we're looking at the clients that are in these group, 95% of the people that were in the 2023 study are in the 2024, but we obviously have additions. There's also going to be some subtractions on this. But that being said, I think that what you'll see in a lot of these trends, you can probably compare this to the industry because some of this stuff I was not surprised to see. If we look at the first number on there, average sales, the average sales of our clients in 2023 were 149,000, whereas in 2024, the average sales was 123,000. That right there is something that I think jumped out at me of, whoa, why did this go down so much? I was going to ignore this, but I think that this is a very, very important topic to discuss. I want you to look at those two numbers down below there, or just follow along as I do this. We have average monthly sales, which is truly that. How much sales did your shop do? It doesn't give you a relative size. It doesn't give you relative to the shop was in there before. And if I use that at the surface, I'm going to say, man, Hunt shops were all down around 15, 20%. Well, no, that was not the case. One of the more apparent indicators on here, though, is getting this to some other relative term. Because if we look at average monthly sales, that's just shop sales divided by months. It doesn't say how big it is. It doesn't say how many advisors they have or anything like that. One of the ones that is a lot more realistic thing to compare on is average monthly sales divided by the number of bays and average monthly sales divided by the number of service advisors. Because remember, if I have a shop that had one service advisor last year and did 100 grand in sales, and now they have two service advisors, they do 200 grand in sales, that looks like that business doubled its sales. When in actuality, I would argue that is a completely different business in 2023 than it was in 2024. And again, if you look at the average monthly sales, it's going to go from 100 grand to 200 grand. However, if you were to look at this as average monthly sales by service advisor, average monthly sales by technician on it, what you're going to find is probably what we're going to see on here is that we are decreasing. That number is still going down. Average sales per technician in 2023 was 32 grand a month. Average monthly sales in 2024 was 31 grand. Average monthly sales based on your bay, most of our shops are averaging around 20 grand in sales per bay and around $73,000 in sales per advisor. Again, if you're looking at that average, what are all hunt shops doing? That first line, you can use it. That is not very applicable to your business. You want to judge your business. Other shops out there are doing around $75,000 in sales per service advisor. $20,000 per bay, $31,000 per technician. What does that mean and how would I use that data? That would be useful if I'm looking at this and I'm saying I'm averaging $73,000 in sales a month and I have two advisors and I think I need another one. This would be a wake-up call to say most people are doing $75,000 with one advisor. Most people are doing $31,000 per technician. This is where people get involved. Be very, very careful on these sales figures. Everyone runs this differently. You're going to expect more production out of a bay that is 50 feet wide versus one that is 10 feet. There is a lot of variables to this. Also, some of my clients, their advisors build the entire estimate, order the parts. Some of my clients, their technician do this. There's so many different things that come into play. Again, you look at the gross profit down right below there. I'm going to mention it, that it's on there. I'm not going to read those dollar figures because gross profit dollars in itself is not a great comparison. How are you going to compare that? This actually gets to the stuff that I really want to compare and I really want to talk about, and that is percentages. Because again, if we go down and we look at some of these sales figures, it gives us a little bit of misleading figures. Whoa, overall sales are way down, but sales based on a relative metric of either size or headcount, they look pretty darn similar. Let's see if we can get some other kind of judgment on here. So if we look at labor gross profit, parts gross profit, and shop supply sales, it's a percentage of your sales, were all positive indicators. More or less, they were very similar here. Overall labor gross profit was around 58.5%, and after or 2024 is up to 59.5%. We're seeing around the same 0.5, 0.6 increase in parts gross profit, and same with shop supplies. And then what we do is I'm going to go down here to an overall gross profit percentage. Guys all want this number. You guys all asked me for this number. Overall gross profit percentage of our shops was 52% last year compared to 51% in 2023. What does that mean? That means that what we are seeing so far is for last year, most people had a decline in sales or maybe relatively similar on this, but you guys were able to make more money on the same amount of sales for the most part. Everyone can be a little bit different. One thing on here that I was a little bit surprised to see, and again, it is a little bit tricky, but we saw sales going down, and we'll see in a second, we saw average repair order going down. We saw gross profit going up. Overall, we saw advertising going down. This is the first one I'm going to put on here, and I'm going to put my spin on this. Advertising a percentage of sales looks two different ways. I could argue this and I could say a lot of people came into 2024 and they were coming off of 2023, which is a pretty good year. A lot of people I think would argue coming into 23 to 24 is they didn't have a car count issue. And I would say a lot of those people maybe pulled back on their advertising. When sales stayed the same and advertising went down, I think most shops probably went and started spending some more money on advertising. But the numbers don't lie here, guys. Average shop in 2023 was spending around 3% of their sales on advertising. Average shop in 2024 was spending 2%. What would I do with that information? Not a whole lot. But the big thing that I will harp on here is advertising as a percentage of sales. I don't generally look at that 2 or 3%, but I use that as a very good barometer. If you're looking at this and you're saying, well, Hunt, what the heck does that mean? How can I judge my advertising? Here it is. If you are spending 5% of your sales on advertising and you think that you need more cars than the average or are trying to get more cars than the average shop, or you're looking at this of saying, Hunt, I need more cars, you're double the average, you're 2 to 3 points higher than the average, and the numbers match up to the story that you're painting. At the end of the day, a 5% is a terrible target if you're just doing a percentage because it's all about value. If I can get my advertising and car count needs met with 1% of my sales, why the hell would I spend 5%? This is value, but you can use the percentages as a good kind of rule of thumb. Same flip side, one of the most common things that I see here for shops though is they're struggling with productivity because they're struggling with car count or struggling with ARO, and they say, "Hun, I just need more cars coming through the door." If that is the case for you right now and you look and your advertising is 2% or 1% on it, then I'm going to say that could be the cause of your problem. You have below average car count, below average sales, but you have below average advertising. So what did you expect to happen? A lot of these ones, I'm looking at these benchmarks, I'm looking at my averages, and I'm comparing this. My gross profit is higher than the average shop out there. I'm not going to look that hard. Why? I'm going to say that's pretty good. If I start looking at some of these other ones, I'm going to say my labor cost is higher than the average shop, but I think I need more people. That might be a wake-up call there. But if you say my labor cost is much less than everyone else, and I know that I'm running with a skeleton crew, again, you could get some context to your numbers. But if you follow along here, I think that we can see a common theme here. If we look at education, which is training, professional development, coaching as a percentage of sales, we see that's down slightly as well. You guys are spending 0.7% of your sales on education. If I look at rent as a percentage of sales, rent is actually down too, which is a weird one. But again, you guys play a little bit a part of this because some of my shops that rent from themselves, if you have a tough year, you guys stop paying yourself rent, and that's going to look like your rent expense went down.
Is your recruitment process draining your valuable time and resources? What if there was a partner who could take your recruitment efforts off your plate? Look no further. Promotive is your ultimate solution for hassle-free staffing focused solely on the automotive industry. On the web at gopromotive.com. Promotive understands the challenges you face when searching for the perfect technician or service advisor for your shop. That's why we've developed a platform that takes the hassle out of recruiting. Michelle Tanzi from Euroclinic said, "I am a shop owner and recruiting new talent is so time-consuming. Promotive does the majority of the seeking and recruiting. They reach out to the candidates for you, and when they feel they are a good match for you and culture, they make the connection. They follow up throughout the interview process, and we make sure that the candidates are a good fit and the shop is a good fit for the candidates. I admire that they genuinely want both parties to win. They recruited and paired us with a solid B-Tech and Master Tech. Both left a dealership position and are still part of our team. We are very happy with the character and culture match, and both technicians have become valuable team members." Visit our website at gopromotive.com today and join the growing community of shop owners who have found their ideal team members with Promotive.
Overall on expenses, we also saw overall expenses decreasing here. In the past, you guys had spent 35% of your sales on expenses, and in 2024, that was down to 33%. If overall gross profit was up and overall expenses were down, what do you think that our clients' profit did? Yes, you would be correct in saying that overall profit is actually up around 2%. And the big number that we look at here is overall profit plus owner's pay. I'm going to harp on this overall profit divided by owner's pay when we do top versus not shop, because this is really the indicator of how I judge a shop. When I look at your bottom line is only telling part of the story because generally you guys get income from two, sometimes three main sources. Profit ultimately turns into distributions or dividends, and then pay. You guys are mostly employees in your company, so you're also taking payroll. The reason why we'd like to look at payroll and profit is if I have a client that decides to pay himself $300,000 a year and have zero profit, he's going to look a lot different than a shop that takes zero payroll and makes $300,000 of profit. If we look at this metric together, owner's pay plus profit, they look identical, which I would argue that they should. There is one big thing on here. Again, we are measuring outputs. We're not measuring inputs. And this is one thing that I would love to be able to do. I tried to do it with you guys, but you guys gave me bad information. But we don't know how much time you guys spent to do this. And that is the true indicator. If your business makes $50,000 a year and you never had to step foot in it, you can argue with me all you want, but I think that's a much better business than one that makes $200,000 a year and my client is working in there every day. Why? Because let's say that my client that was in there for 1 hour made 50 grand, he makes $50,000 an hour. My client that made 200 grand last year, but he was there all year, it's a good job, but it's only paying him around 100 bucks an hour. Hunt, why don't you put it in here? I tried. Some of you guys that remember on the survey, I did ask you to put your information there about how much you guys work. A couple of you, I know specifically how much you work, and I picked, and it was really just giving wacky figures. If we're going to do this, if we want to measure this stuff, we're going to have to be a little bit more honest about it. But yeah, I mean, don't always look at this and say, man, my profit is much lower than the guy down the street. How much input did you put in there? We'll talk about it later. The top shop, again, this year on it, I am guessing, I'm not sure who it is, but it's a group of a couple and they're probably on the same boat. All of those top shops, my client's hourly rate is probably not the highest of all the shops I'm looking at. Yeah, the most percentage of their sales is going to my client, either between profit or payroll, but it doesn't mean that he didn't work hard as crap to do that either. Keep in mind, you might be a little bit different here. Average repair order. Average repair order is actually up comparing last year to this year. Overall car count is down though. Overall average repair order we see went up and overall car count going down. I will tell you that I didn't really see this in real life. I was surprised to see this, but again, numbers don't lie. Overall average repair order being up was surprising when I feel like a lot of my clients, what I've seen is decreasing average repair order. But again, if you look at it this way, how did the year shake out? Again, this is probably my own personal perception clouding this. We see overall sales down, but we see average repair order going up. So if overall sales are going down, average repair orders going up, we know our car count is dropping. And we're seeing that. We have around a 10% decrease in car count, and probably the biggest number on here that starts to tie this stuff together and make sense on this. Again, what you guys measure is not actually what you guys are trying to measure. You guys measure car count and you equate that to customers. My car count is down, my customers are down. When what that is customers times the amount of times you see them in a year, that equals your ARO or that equals your car count. The thing that I've been seeing, and not all of you guys measure this, some shop management systems can, some owners like to look at this or not, is how many times are you guys seeing your customers? And what we're seeing from my customers that are measuring this stuff is you're not losing your customers, they're still there, but maybe instead of seeing them 2 times a year, that number's down to 1.8. That doesn't seem a lot, but if your customers went from seeing you 2 times a year to 1.8, that means that what? 80% of your customers are going to come twice and 20% of them are going to come once. That is a pretty big drop. Also, what we're seeing, if you start measuring people's mileage between oil changes, the economy is tough right now. Inflation is still here. Wages aren't going up. People are broke. Interest rates are high. People are extending their oil change intervals and they're doing less generally when they come in. Even though that ARO looks at this, if that ARO is higher, but if I have a $700 ARO compared to $350, but when they were doing $350, I sold them 3 times, and now I'm only seeing them once. Again, that's why you got to look at these numbers are all interrelated. Man, your ARO is up really high. Man, it went from $800 last year to $1,100 this year. You're happy as a clam. Your numbers are going to be terrible if you saw your customers twice last year and you only saw them once. So again, ARO, car count, all of these numbers are good numbers. They're outputs. How many miles are your clients driving? Where are they driving? What are they doing? Are they working? Are they not working? Are they getting laid off? There is so many different things. And this one specifically on ARO and car count, be very, very careful. Go local. I have a whole benchmark that's going to give you these numbers for your region on it. That's going to be a lot more representative for you guys. Case in point of this is most of you guys know we're based out of Maryland, DC, Virginia area. Look at what's going on with the federal government. That's been a major, major effect on my clients during COVID and still now today. Some people are forced to go back in the office, which has been good for some. Some people got laid off, which has been very bad for others. But this is where some of this stuff is very location specific. My shop is different. I agree it is. Some people say your shop is not different. These numbers don't lie. They are all different in certain ways. You'll be able to go and you'll be able to look, and we'll talk next week about different regions and different types of shops. But you're going to see there's some stuff that is directly comparable to all of them. There is some stuff that varies widely depending on where you are. There's really 3 more numbers that I want to talk about on here. I'm going to start with labor rate, and then we're going to look at labor rate divided by labor gross profit and explain to you why the heck I put that on there. And then the last one we're going to do is productivity. the most important one on here because it probably dictates everything else. Labor rate divided by labor gross profit percentage. Why do we even have that on there? You guys get what labor rate is. You can look on there. Labor rate's virtually unchanged, 163 to 165. So that is the ballpark of where everyone is. Why do I have labor rate divided by labor gross percentage? What the idea behind that is sure, your labor rate is good, but if you're really inefficient and you're not making any profit on there, we shouldn't give you credit for having a high labor rate. Let's say that you went out there and you're like, yeah, my labor rate's $500 an hour, but I know that you don't make very good money or you pay your technician $400 an hour. This ratio kind of smooths that pricing and distances out. What you will see on there is, like we expected, labor rate didn't change that much, and neither did labor rate divided by labor gross profit. So the last one on here is something that, again, is a very big average that I don't like to use as much on this overall aspect of this. It is a very useful number for your business and is a very useful number to get an idea on here, but there's a lot of variables on this one. Productivity. And how do I measure productivity and why is my productivity going to be different than yours is I look at productivity at your street rate. So if you told me your labor rate is $200 an hour, I am backing into how many hours you sold at your street rate. So if you want to look at the numbers that I think that you sold, I will guarantee you that they're going to be lower than your Mitchell numbers, than your Techmetric numbers, than your Napatrax number. Why? Because I don't care about you selling hours in this report if you didn't get paid for. Realistically, I do, but this is the only way I can do it to take those variables out of the equation. And then all we do on the backside of this is we take the number of technicians you have and multiply times 2,000 to get the amount of labor inventory you have in a year. You can understand that this number is probably not directly comparable to yours, but it is a probably good comparison if you're looking at trends and averages. What we saw was a pretty large drop in productivity. We saw productivity go from 57% in 2023 down to 47.6% in 2024. As we'll find out here in a couple of weeks when we do the top versus not episode is, how do we see a decrease in productivity when actually productivity is the only indicator that was directly related to profit? If productivity went up, so did profit. How do we see profit going up if the overall productivity of shops went down? Your shop could be different from the shops that I saw. This is the story that I saw in 2024. The shops that did this right and the shops that did this wrong could not be more different, which is why I think the averages look a little bit wonky. We have a tale of two different shops. So if your shop did fine in 2024 and you picked up where you left off, then fine, good for you. Generally, what I saw on shops is shops that went from 21, 22, 23, and they were kept on climbing, and they thought 24 was going to be the same 10, 20, 30% increase that they've seen for the last 3 years. For most of you guys, it wasn't. And if you went out and you thought that your sales were going to be up 20%, a lot of my clients went out and hired people. They signed up for overhead because they were expecting this sales increase. When that sales increase doesn't happen, then what do you think happens to profitability if all of your costs went up? And that's what I saw for a lot of people in 24. You probably had the right intention because if you were looking at the data from the previous years, even my daughter would say it's going to keep on going in a positive direction. So if your costs are going up, if your expenses are going up and your sales and gross profit are going down, for a lot of people, there was no way that they weren't going to have a slight pullback on them. What we saw is if you have declining sales, declining amount of cars coming in there, and you maintain your headcount on there, of course, we shouldn't be shocked to see productivity dropping. The labor market is as tight as it ever has been on it. And I think even more so in 2024 or 2025, you guys are a lot more leery to lay off a non-productive person if it's caused by car count. I got four techs, but I really only need three of them right now. I'm probably not going to drop that fourth technician because when the work comes back around, I'm not going to be able to hire them back. Because again, it's still a really, really tight market. What we did see is if you can look on the other ones, is people said, if I'm not having the same amount of sales come in, if I'm not as productive on my team, I need to get smarter. And so what I saw is the shops that were able to overcome this were able to cut expenses, were able to drive gross profit. And overall, we saw people had a better year. I think people had to fight harder in 2024 to get it. I saw the volatility between the top and the not shops was much, much less consistent than it was in previous years. And yeah, 2024 was a vastly different year for a lot of people. I would say 20% of our shops had a record year, 20% of them had a very bad year, and 60% of them had an arguably very similar year than they did in 2023. If you were to look at 2024 and you put it back into the last 20 years of the automotive industry or your business's career, 2024 probably is, again, one of your better years that you've ever had. If you want to look at 2024 as it compares to 21, 22, and 23, for most of our shops, it was probably a down year. And again, we're looking at this. Was 24 a down year, or is it just down in the relative sense of what we're used to looking at? Before we wrap this thing up and send this off as a teaser for next week, where we're going to talk about some of the benchmarks as it relates to size, location, and type of shops, we want to go rapid fire down through some of these non-financials. 80% of our shops are doing DVI, 20% are not. I don't think that that's very much unchanged. Techmetric was the big winner this year with 43% of our shops using Techmetric. In second place was Mitchell, followed by Protractor, and then we got Shopware on there, and we still got a bunch of people on RO Writer. Shout out RO Writer. Health insurance, 70% of you offer health insurance, and of those people that offer health insurance, you guys are covering an average of 73%, which is awesome to see. Retirement, 73% of you guys are offering retirement, 60% of you guys are using a coaching company, and the tech pay plan is almost a straight split between hourly, salary, and flat rate, and service advisor is very similar. What do I see on that is all of you guys are paying your people slightly different ways, and as we'll see on the top versus not, most of you have been able to figure out to have a good or a bad shop regardless of pay plan. The one big thing that I have seen, and I did compare this, is benefits. When we did this 3 years ago on retirement and health insurance, every single year that we've done this, you guys have been offering more and more benefits to the team. Why do I think that is? While at the same time, those same benefits have become more and more expensive, this labor market has become more and more competitive. You guys are offering similar flat rates. You guys are offering similar hourly rates. The big thing that I'm seeing now for a lot of my shops is you guys are setting yourselves apart in non-financial ways. We both pay $35 an hour flat rate, but I offer a 401k and full health insurance. If your current employer doesn't, that's going to be a big jump. One thing that I haven't put on here because we just don't have enough of you guys doing this is changing the days of the week. Most common thing that I see people doing to attract new talent is going to a 4-day work week. Can it work for your shop? I don't know. But again, under the same vein of how do I set myself apart? How do I have that A tech jump from that shop to my shop when all of us are on a similar playing field? You got to get creative. Maybe the profit share, maybe the 401k is what, you know, does it in your area. Maybe the health insurance is going to be something that does it. Maybe changing the days of the week. I don't know, but what we are seeing and what these numbers are showing us is you guys are trying all different things to try and figure out the right mix. So I hope this was helpful for you. I hope that you check out the benchmark and join us on the upcoming 2 weeks where we go into even more of the benchmark. If you want to share this with your tribe, if you want to share this with your 20 group, if you want to share this with your team or whoever else you want to share it for, cool, go for it. Give us credit. There's our Power Mellis name tagged all over that. But other than that, I don't care. I want you guys to get this out. I want people to see this. I want people to ask questions. And most importantly on here, if you go down through this and you've been reading these for the last couple of years, there's something on there that you would like to see. I've never seen someone measure this. Can you measure that? The first thing I'll probably tell you is, if you give me one I haven't thought of, I'll give you a special prize there. But a lot of them, I can already see a couple you guys are going to ask me about, and I will explain to you why we haven't been able to do it. But yeah, if you guys are missing something that you guys think that you can get value out of, we're measuring this stuff. We have the data to more or less probably generate anything that you want to see. Always want to hear what you guys actually want to see. As always, if you have any questions about the Benchmark Report or anything else, shoot me an email at podcast@parmellis.com. Just want to say thanks again for joining me on the Aftermarket Radio Network. You can find all shows on the aftermarketradionetwork.com and on your favorite podcast listening app. Thanks again for joining Business by the Numbers. Stay safe out there, and I'll talk to you all next week.
You've been listening to Business by the Numbers with Hunt Demarest on the Aftermarket Radio Network. Follow Hunt on your favorite podcast listening app. Let him know what you'd like him to cover. His email is in the show notes. Hunt is all for advancing the aftermarket.